So we've been working our way through the book of Matthew. Last week we touched upon Peter's confession and just talked about Jesus made the claim upon this rock. Talked about Peter being the rock that God would be instrumentally and it would be upon his leadership that a lot of the church would be would launch and take root. He'd provide some of that key early leadership, and he'd have Paul and some of the other apostles and down the line. All right? So a good message. If you missed it, you can go to the app on your phone, the Radiant Springs app. I highly encourage you to download the app. It doesn't cost anything, and it'll just notify you when the messages get uploaded. You can give online if you want to do that way. I know older, I don't want to say older, but if you're over maybe 30, you still like maybe writing on a check. But if you're under 30, some of those people don't even have a checkbook, okay? All right? And they're just, you know, I got money from my sons here this week and got some from, and they used Apple Pay. Now, Apple Pay has a new feature. So either I get it through the Cash App or Apple Pay. It's all electronic now. They don't even hardly use cash anymore. So, but you can give that way. So, and also notifications and stuff like that. So it's just a good thing to have there. All right. So we talked about Peter's confession. And then we go, so in this confession, Jesus says to Peter, Peter, you know, he says to all the apostles, who do you say that I am? And who do people say that I am? Well, I say Elijah, John the Baptist, a prophet. And he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus says, man, flesh and blood, you didn't figure that out on your own, Peter. That was revealed to you by God above. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And it seems to be a reference to Peter. Peter, Petros, rock, Petra, it's wordplay there. That upon Peter, God would build his church. And we talked about some of the, like the Catholics kind of use that for the Pope and papal succession. We don't believe in any of that. And I still think we can still kind of go with that without embracing that because the scripture doesn't support that. All right? But this morning I want us to look at verses 21 through 21 and look at this a little bit more. As far as, now Jesus is going to have a hard passage here that is for all of us, for himself, but also for all of us. And he begins to inform his disciples that there are difficulties that are going to lie ahead, okay, on his way to Jerusalem and ultimately to the cross. In America, we value the American dream, don't we? That's a terminology. We talk about the American dream. I don't know of any other nation that has that terminology or that phrase, the American dream or the Guatemalan dream or the you know, the European dream. I haven't heard that, but in America we have the American dream that you can come to America regardless of your financial state and regardless of who you are and make a living for yourself. And we're one of the unique countries in the world that allows you to do that, all right? If you've grown up here, you maybe take that for granted, but maybe if you've come from someplace else, maybe you came here for that reason, all right? But we value the American dream. It's a philosophy that, it's a lens that we look through and it affects our theology, okay? And to the place that sometimes we see difficulty, sacrifice, hardship, we see that sometimes in a negative light that is not a good thing, that we're doing something wrong. That means we're not being successful if we're having hard times. And so Jesus is going to address this. How would you define success? How would you define success? We had a minister's meeting here this last month, and we had different pastors from our section, Milford, Lincoln, Crete. We talked about what does it mean? Success, what is success? And for each of them, it was different. And they've all learned that if you have to say, okay, what does success mean in my location, in my context? Because it's not the same for everybody. And I think that's important to note, that what is success for you? If it's just what you see on Facebook, on TV, and your friends, if you think I have to have what they have to be successful, I think you have a wrong version of what success is. What is success for you? What is going to make you happy? What is going to make you satisfied and content and fulfilled in life? Amen? So, yes, I got one back there. Yes. All right. Take that, amen. So let's Let's look a little bit deeper here. Chapter 16, 21 through 28. And before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is your living word, Father. And as we come before you, it comes alive, Lord God. As we invite your Holy Spirit to come, Lord, it becomes your living word that speaks to us. It helps correct us. It guides us. It enriches our lives. It helps us to mature and grow, Father. And so, Father, we pray just for your Holy Spirit to come and open up our hearts and our minds to understand your word. And we just pray for your blessing. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's look at verses 21 through 24. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And that he must be killed. Okay? So the cross was a surprise, I think, to the apostles, right? That day that actually happened. But he'd been telling them that, but they had selective hearing. Okay? You ever had selective hearing, right? Or your kids have selective hearing? They hear what they want. They had selective hearing. But he told them, he goes, I must be killed, and on the third day I'm going to be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Now, he can do that, right? Because he's the rock, right? He's the rock. He has some leadership swag now, all right? Because he's been spoken out by God. He's the leader. He's the rock. So he says, you know, Jesus, come here. There's no way, Lord, that we're ever going to let that happen to you. Right? Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you. There's 12 of us here. We'll take on whatever comes your way. All right? Can you hear that in Peter's voice? We're not going to let anything bad happen to you, Jesus. That in no way is God's will for your life. Jesus turned to Peter and said, what? Get behind me, Satan. He goes from being the rock to being Satan. Wow, isn't that just incredible? You are a stumbling block to me. You have in mind the things, not the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Amen? Passage that a lot of times is maybe familiar to a lot of you. You know, for Peter, the thought of Jesus, the Messiah, having to suffer, to go through the cross, to go through sacrifice was unthinkable. There was no way that in his mind that he could fathom that Jesus would have to go through that. And he was going to do everything in his power, possibly, to keep Jesus from going through that. To going through the cross, to go through suffering. And Jesus turns to Peter and says, get behind me. I don't think he was literally saying that he was Satan, but Satan was speaking through Peter, right? And I believe it was a real temptation for Jesus. It was a real temptation for him to have one of his close friends and the lead disciple say, Jesus, you know, we don't think you should have to go through the cross. That doesn't sound right. And Jesus was wrestling himself with that. We know when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, God, if there's any other way that I can accomplish the mission of salvation for the world without going through the cross, I'm all in, right? But he says, not my will, but your will be done, right? And so we know that Jesus was wrestling with this. And so Peter then, instead of you know, coming alongside Jesus and supporting him and praying for him, says, there's no way, Jesus, that we're going to allow you to go through this suffering. So it's interesting to note that Peter the rock had now become a stumbling stone. You can write that down. Peter the rock had now become the stumbling stone. He was going to be the rock that the church was going to be built upon, but now he had become a stumbling stone to Christ. In our culture, suffering can be despised at times. We see it as a curse. We sometimes see it as a sign that we're doing something wrong. And in Jesus' day, that was no different. They saw that as the same way. But it's amazing to me, just the cross. And so, what was Jesus saying to Peter? He was saying that sometimes being in the will of God means sacrifice, doesn't it? It sometimes means sacrifice. It's amazing to me that the cross is a symbol of death. It's a symbol of pain, suffering, humiliation, shame, and torment, isn't it? right? That's how they, the Romans were experts in crucifixion and torture and torment. They were experts at it. It wasn't like being beheaded and, you know, it's done, right? That's a little more merciful than hanging on a cross for 6-8 hours trying to catch your breath and die in a slow death. It's excruciating death, humiliating death, right? It was all the above. They were masters at it. But that symbol of the cross now has become a sign of peace, forgiveness, and hope and life to us, isn't it? Right? There is the cross. A symbol of suffering and pain, but now we embrace it because it is a symbol of hope, life, and resurrection. The bottom line is that the cross goes against the cultural norm. For Jesus, the will of God would include going through the cross, going to the cross, dying, and being resurrected. And I believe the words of Peter were actually a real temptation to Jesus. And in the same way, fulfilling the will of God for your life will most likely require sacrifice. It's a good place to say amen. You know, you don't have to, but it doesn't mean that you're going to deny yourself everything or that you can't have fun. It just means that you may have to sacrifice in order to fulfill the will of God for your life. For Jesus, it meant going through the cross. For the apostles, it meant other things, right? Each of them would die a martyr, though, except for John. They would try killing him, and they didn't work, and so then he would die on the island of Patmos. But for you and I, it may mean other sacrifice. The first point you can write down in your program there is that walking with Jesus involves sacrifice. It involves sacrifice. You know, there's buzz right now that Tom Brady, the quarterback for the New England Patriots, and Edwin is not here today. You know, that's his team, right? They're having a good year. But there's buzz that he might retire this year. He's at age 42, one of the oldest quarterbacks, but he's still in incredible shape, folks. I mean, he's still out there doing it. I think what's getting into him is that his kids are getting older, and he's missing the family time. And I think that family time is becoming more important to him than playing the game of football. Why is he in incredible shape? Well, he's had a good offensive line and some of those things. But he makes sacrifices. He has a very strict diet that he puts himself through. He has very strict workout routine, I believe, he puts himself through. He's done all those things, and because of that, he's been able to keep himself in health, good health. And, you know, and I think about that. You know, if someone is able to do that for sports, shouldn't we be able to, and willing to make sacrifices to follow Jesus? Shouldn't we? I mean, football is a game. It's here one day, it's gone the next, right? If we're willing to make sacrifices for some of those things, shouldn't we be willing, as a Christian and follower of Christ, to be willing to make sacrifices to follow after Him, to do His will? So let's put it in. I'm going to step on some toes. Is that okay if I can step on some toes? All right. Okay. I'm going to step on some toes. You don't have to say ouch, but what does that mean for us as a believer in Christ? Well, it may mean that you don't watch certain movies or TV shows that your friends are talking about, even maybe Christian friends, because you want to protect your spirit and your soul. You don't want them to become polluted. Maybe it's violent. Maybe the language is bad. Maybe it shows more things, more skin than you want to. Can we put it that way? Okay. Maybe it means abstaining from strong drink, alcoholic beverages, because you don't want to affect your judgment at any time. We do that for certain occupations, right? Maybe that's what God is calling us to. It may mean dressing modestly in a world where showing more is in. Right? Maybe. It may be being choosy about the music you listen to, you know. A lot of different choices out there. It may be selective about the people you're close with, your friends that you hang out with. Choosing people that instead of tearing you down or having a negative influence on you, they're going to encourage you in the things of God and build you up. It may mean taking a pay cut so you can fill the will of God for your life. Man, there's people that have left six-figure jobs so that they could pastor and do the will of God. To follow Jesus often involves sacrifice. It doesn't mean you have to be a monk or, you know, they got into asceticism. They'd deny themselves everything. They would deny themselves food, sleep. They did a lot of different things because they thought in being denying themselves, they were somehow spiritual. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm saying is that with the cross and fulfilling the will of God, there are sacrifices along the way, and we have to listen to the Holy Spirit of God to know what sacrifices are necessary to do His will and be willing to do that. Amen? Let's keep diving into this. Verse 25 and 26. Verses 25 and 26. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Or some translations I say must lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. Come on, Jesus. He's getting tricky with us. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit your own soul? And what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, you can possess all the money in the world, can't you? All the money in the world. And still lose your own soul. And never have your sins forgiven or the hope of heaven. Wealth is not necessarily bad. I mean, it can steal your heart. It can steal your soul. If that's your focus, you can gain the whole world. And so what Jesus is saying is you have to lose your life in Him. He has to be your focus. He has to be what you're focused on. And for Jesus, He was fulfilling the will of the Father. And He is speaking to His disciples saying, you know what? Sometimes to follow Me, you're going to have to endure some sacrifice. And you're going to have to lose your life to find it. You're going to have to lose your life in Me to find it. It's in surrendering our lives to Christ that we discover His will for our lives. So the second principle is walking with Jesus refines your purpose for living. It refines your purpose for living. Anybody can live with purpose. Some people never have purpose, right? Honestly, right? But some people, man, they're just going on a mission. But you know what? It can be for the wrong thing. There's people out there making money, 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 money. But they're not happy. Their sins aren't forgiven. They're working, working, working. But in the end, they don't have anything because it's all going to be gone, right? Can't take the money with you, unfortunately. I don't know if Apple iPay is going to figure that one out, how to get it to heaven. I don't know. Maybe they can figure it out. I don't know. I don't think they will. All right? You can't take it with you, right? I don't know. You can put it in your coffin, in your casket. I don't think it's going to make any difference, right? Can't take it with you. But walking with Jesus is going to refine your purpose. There again, material things are not necessarily wrong. But if that's what you're living for, if that's your purpose, if that's your goal, you're going to lose yourself in them and never find Jesus. You know, we went to the Vikings game up in Minneapolis. Good to have my dad here. And we went, took the boys, my dad. He's been a Vikings fan all of his life and never went to one of their games. So we made the trip up there, drove up there, and all three boys, and we went to the game. But for the Vikings quarterback is Kirk Cousins. And how much is his contract for? Anybody know? I think he's one of the highest paid quarterbacks, if I'm not mistaken. He's $84 million, yep. You got it right on there. Yeah, $84 million is his contract. That's a lot of money, folks, to be able to. And I just saw him down there. You know, I saw him warming up. He just looks like any ordinary guy that throws a football. $84 million, folks, to perform on a Sunday or Thursday night. You know, and that's all great. That's great. But I think America's values are a little bit mixed up. We'll pay $84 million for that, but a school teacher or other professions that have an eternal impact, right? We don't value that. And that's America to blame, right? Because we're valuing the wrong things. We want to be entertained instead of investing in things that matter. At the Vikings game Thursday night, they honored Steve Jordan. I don't know if you'd have to be, you know, probably 40 years old or older to know who Steve or Jordan was for the Vikings. He's a great tight end, and they honored him. He set a lot of different records. And he was there, still in great shape and everything. But I didn't catch all of he gave a little presentation and speech, and it was at halftime, and I didn't catch all of it. Happened to be in the restroom and it was coming through the speakers, okay? But as he was sharing that, he was talking about how he's investing his time in FCA. And, so he could put his... He probably doesn't have to do anything. He probably could just live out the rest of his life hunting, fishing, or doing whatever he wanted to do, right? But he's taking time to invest in the younger generation Fellowship of Christian Athletes, if you didn't know what FCA stood for. And Jay, and I think Amy, you're still involved with that. We have an FCA in Crete at the high school and also at Doane College that is impacting athletes. And so that's what he's investing his time in there. And I thought, you know what? So you can have money, you can have success and fame and whatever, but still you have to find your purpose and what really matters. And I think as you walk with Jesus, as you get close to him and you know his heart, as the disciples did, then you begin to refine your purpose in life. And now you have a greater purpose that is beyond the things of this world. You have a higher purpose that exceeds all that. Paul is writing to the Romans, and they were a secular culture. And he's primarily probably writing to a Gentile audience, okay, when he's writing this letter in Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he has a prayer in chapter 11. He closes chapter 11 out with a prayer. He's just marveled that the Gentiles have been grafted into the plan of God, all right? And he's grateful for God's mercy and his grace that has been extended. And then in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." This is your true and proper worship. So we think sometimes worship is the singing and the raising hands, and that is worship, right? But you're worshiping God when you leave here and you go to work, you go to your family, you honor him by the choices and the decisions you make, by sharing your story with people. You are worshiping him, and by the choices you make, things you do and don't do, that is your proper and true worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. It's trying to press you into the mold, right? And you're supposed to resist that. Instead, you're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. Our class on Tuesday night knows what transformed is. It's that metamorphosis. You're going from a caterpillar to a butterfly, all right? It's a metamorphosis that is happening. And it's going to renew your mind, not only your heart, but your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what? God's will is his perfect and pleasing will. As we surrender our lives to God and as we walk with him, it's then that we understand his good, pleasing, and perfect will for our life. You're not going to discover that on your own unless you're walking with Jesus and you get close to his heart. Then it's going to become clear to you. We also offer a class. We'll be offering that here towards the end of the year. That helps. But it's not a substitute if you're not walking with God and surrendering your life to him. Amen? Because once you do that, then the lights come on. You know, boom, now I can see. Because I see his plan for my life and what he wants to do with it. Amen. 27 and 28. "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels. Then he will reward each person according to what he has done." That's not bad. How many like rewards? I kind of like them. It's nice to get a check in the mail every once in a while or something like that, right? "I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man come in his kingdom." So that always gives us a few people, gives scholars a little problem, that last verse there. But Jesus says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in my Father's glory with the angels." So he's coming back a second time. First time he came to bring salvation, to die on the cross for our sins. But we know that Jesus is coming a second time to establish his kingdom here on earth, right? And that time he's going to bring rewards with him, all right? Gift cards, I don't know. He's going to bring something with him to reward us. A ticket to heaven. It was through Jesus' suffering on the cross that we have forgiveness, eternal life, and victory. And he's going to provide that for you. So I want you to go, keep your finger in Matthew, and go back to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah 52, 53. We're just going to hit this real quickly. It's one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament. The end of chapter 52, verse 13. And Isaiah says, see, my servant will act wisely. So God's going to do this wise act that's going to just profound everybody. And he'll be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Well, how is this going to happen? How is Jesus going to come out ahead and make this wide, shrewd move? Let's go down to verse 2, 1 and 2 of 53. Verse 2. He grew up before him like a tender shoot, like a root out of dry ground. This is referring to Jesus. He had no majesty, beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Guess Jesus wasn't good looking. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. Like one who men would hide their face from, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Think about as he's walking that road to the cross. Okay, he has the cross on his shoulders, crown of thorns in his head, his back is ripped open from the flogging. And instead of being the person that was by the Sea of Galilee that the people were worshiping because he had healed the sick and raised the dead, right? He is now the person that people are mocking and despising, hurling insults at, kicking and despising as he makes the way. Why did he? It says in verse 4, surely he took up our infirmities, our sicknesses and disease, our sorrows. We considered him stricken by God, cursed, smitten, afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are what? See, that was the reward for Jesus. You go down to verse 12. Therefore I will give him a portion among the great. He will divide the spoils among the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions. See, the reward that Jesus, that took him through the cross, his focus of going through the cross was you and I, our salvation, our redemption, the fellowship that he has with us. So if you have any inclination that God doesn't love you, then you just need to read this, because he loved you so much that he was willing to go through the cross for you. And for me, that was his reward, was knowing that he was going to provide salvation for you and I. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 through 9. So go back past Matthew, past Hebrews, 1 Peter. Three through nine. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, fade, or kept in heaven for you. You know, that's not a guarantee in this world. You can have investments, you can have money in the bank. Seems like every week you're finding out somebody gets scammed and they've lost their inheritance or they've lost money. Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation is coming. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to go suffer grief in all kinds of trials. So Peter's writing to this audience and he says, hey, you're going through some suffering, some difficulties, but it's going towards an end that your salvation is coming. Verse 7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Through you have not seen him, though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do have not seen him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. Because why? You are receiving the goal of your faith, which is the the salvation of your souls. The final principle, folks, is that walking with Jesus includes a heavenly reward. It does include some sacrifice along the way, right? And in that process, we are refined so that our faith is like gold. It's pure. It's righteous. And in that process, we find a heavenly reward. By walking with Jesus, embracing the cross, we find spiritual life, victory, and eternal reward. You know, Peter, again, says in Matthew 19, 27 through 30, so we may get there. Probably not before the end of the year, because we'll shift gears to Thanksgiving and Christmas. But Peter is kind of putting two together. What was Peter before he met Jesus? He was a fisherman, right? They caught fish. They made a living. It wasn't very lucrative, but it put fish on the table anyway. And put some money on the table, I'm sure. But following Jesus just wasn't very lucrative. And Peter expresses this. He kind of puts this together after a while. Verse 27, he says, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. They've left their occupation. They left their family. They left a steady income for what it was. Jesus, you know, Peter says, we've left everything to follow you, Jesus. What will then will be there for us? And so if you go back and read the previous verses, it's the rich young ruler. And Jesus says, you know, it's going to be hard for the rich to make it into heaven. And this is what Jesus says. Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sister, father, mother, wife, children, fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Now, if you went to a financial advisor and say, hey, you know what, I have an investment where I can invest $100 and I'll get another $100 on top of that. I'll get 100% return on it. What would they say? Would they say that's a good investment or a bad investment? Yeah. Yeah. Good and great investment. Yeah, you get 15, 20%, you're getting a great investment, right? You get 100% return, you're getting an incredible investment. Jesus says to Peter, he says, you're going to get 100 times as much and plus eternal life. Amen? Invest in the things that matter, that are eternal. The way of the cross does not make much sense, humanly speaking. Have the musicians come. It didn't make much sense to Jesus and to his followers. They thought, you know, Peter says, no way, Jesus, we're going to let you die and whatever that means and suffer. We're not going to let that happen, Jesus. That doesn't make any sense to us. Because in suffering, there's no victory, there's no triumph, right? Not humanly speaking. But Jesus, it was through the cross that there'd be victory. There'd be salvation, there'd be eternal life. Walking with Jesus requires sacrifice. It reveals our God-given purpose. It leads to our heavenly reward. The most important thing today is that you leave here today knowing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Amen? That's the most important thing. But the second thing is that I think sometimes in the Christian faith we say, you know what, give your heart to Jesus, pray the prayer, get your sins forgiven, and everything's going to be great. It wasn't great for the apostles. I mean, I don't think any of them regretted what God had called them to do in their place, because the reward is out, you know, incredible. They got a great reward. But in the world's eyes, often the way of the cross, the crosswalk, there's some sacrifices that you're going to have to make along the way. There's going to be choices at times. At times you're going to have to say, you know, this is what the world or even my flesh says, hey, I want to do this, right? At this moment, at this time, I'm tempted, God. But God says, this is the way that leads to life. And if you walk it, in that you find eternal life. You find purpose, you find meaning and satisfaction. Amen. Amen. So I want to lead us in a prayer of salvation, but also just a prayer of surrender. And then we're going to sing that song, The Wonderful Cross. Amen. Would you join me in prayer this morning? If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you just don't know for sure. You haven't nailed it down. You just don't know for sure. You want to do that this morning. I'm just going to lead us in a prayer. We're all going to join you together today, and we're going to make that our own prayer. I believe that God honors it. So let's pray together, saying, Dear God, forgive me of my sin. Thank you that you went to the cross. And Lord, help me to follow you. Be my Lord and my Savior. And help me to live a life that honors you in all that I do. Amen. Father, this morning, may each of us surrender our life to you, Lord God. We're human, Lord God. We wrestle with our own desires. We wrestle with the desires of this world. We're influenced by the things that we see, the people we hang out with. It all influences us, God. But Lord God, you called us to be transformed by you and not be conformed to the pattern of this world. And Lord God, when the world puts pressure on us to force us into that mold, Lord God, may we find ourselves before the throne of God, saying, God, change, transform me, renew me, help me to know you and to follow in your ways. Because in the end, that is going to lead to eternal life. We can do all the things that the world says are important and valuable to the world, but it's going to leave us empty, it's going to leave us dry, it's going to leave us without hope, without eternal life. And Lord God, this morning we just pray that, I pray that we can press in and know your heart and follow hard after you. And no looking back, no turning back, but seek you and seek your face. We give you the thanks. We ask in your name, God. And sing this together. Would you stand this morning? I'm going to have Yolanda and Christy, if you'd come forward. If you need prayer this morning, make your way up and pray for you for salvation, but also for healing. Or if just something pressing in, you just want to agree with somebody in prayer this morning. Family need, Lord God. Just come. We'll agree with you. Amen. You know, following the will of God and the way of the cross, it may seem a little bit difficult, but I can guarantee you once you do that, it's the most enjoyable thing in your life. Amen? Has there been sacrifices? Yeah, there's been sacrifices. Different ways, different levels. I don't regret any of it. Amen. Father, this morning, pray that you go with us this week. And Jesus says, daily, pick up your cross and follow me. And Lord God, for some of us, maybe we've gotten too far away from the cross and you need to bring us back. It's a daily thing, Lord God, that we have to keep in front of us, that we have to die to ourselves so that we can know you, we can have eternal life, but we can also be just have that strong sense of purpose, knowing that we're walking with you and fulfilling your will for our lives. And so, Lord, I pray you go with us. Go with us in your grace, your mercy, your power, and your strength, Lord God. And we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, when I have my devotional time, most of the times I'm usually sitting. Sometimes I walk. I like to walk and pray. I like to usually sit down and read. Do my devotions and study time. But I have found that it's a very essential part of my devotional time to also just kneel at a chair, at a bench, or something like that. Kneel. Why? Because it's a posture that I'm coming before God and I'm saying, God, I surrender my life to you. And I believe there's things that God does in my life as I make that visible, practical, tangible. I'm kneeling, I'm surrendering my life to you, God. God does something in my life that doesn't happen any other way. Amen? So, whatever. Take that for God. Amen. God bless you this morning. Do I need to turn it over to somebody?
We just want to welcome everybody to stick around for pastor appreciation. We have a number of people who are going to pray for our pastors, so we'll just kind of gather back by the cake and do that.